Hello, folks. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm your host, John Saxbury, here with our new worship leader and associate evangelist, executive producer, third baseman, running linebacker, quarterback, whatever.
Sure.
Corey Queen, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, everybody.
Today I want to talk to you about our dominion, about what we have lost as the church. What we have lost is over the past years is we've lost our backbone as a church. We've lost our dominion that we had that was once established during the day of Pentecost. I'm gonna tell you something right now. The people on the day of Pentecost, Corey, they weren't a bunch of sappy, milquetoast, lily-livered, yellow bellies out there. Oh, I'm just a mortar. I'm just being mortared for my faith. Just run over me, walk over me, do whatever. Do whatever you want to me. No, these were strong, hardcore men of God who was filled full of the fire of the Holy Ghost, who had a fire built in them that just wouldn't quit.
You had to be stuck in an upper room full of 120 people that probably only fit 90, for days waiting for the Holy Spirit.
I mean, we've gotten to the point in the church where it's like the Holy Spirit, let's build our churches up. Let's build our churches up. Let's grow them up to popularity. Let's have the Holy Spirit come in and build it all up for us. But once we get nice and big, we just kick them off the property, have the ushers escort them off the premises. I mean, it's gotten out of hand. It's a joke. I mean, a lot of these ministers out there that are ministering, they're not ministering under the power of God. Mm-hmm. They're ministering out of some Reader's Digest article.
Right.
I mean, it's a joke.
Right.
Nobody cares about we need to bring more sensitivity into the church. We don't need sensitivity in the church. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you kidding me right now?
Right.
Sensitivity? Are you kidding me? When do they teach sensitivity in the United States Marine Corps? I mean, it's a joke.
Right.
I mean, we've gotten out of hand with this.
Right.
I mean, we've gotten to the point where you don't even know what to tell who's the preacher or the congregation members.
Right.
The congregation members have more control than the pastors do.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah, you're right.
We've got people calling them just lead pastors. Or we just call them by their first name basis only.
Right. Taking away the power of that, the mantle that God put on top of them.
Let's say our pastor's name's Timothy Jones. Pastor Timothy Jones, senior pastor Timothy Jones. And we just start calling, everybody starts calling him Timothy. Yeah. Timothy. Let's not call him senior pastor anymore. Let's call him lead pastor. What an abortion.
Right.
I mean, how dare you do that to the Holy Spirit? Abort the Holy Spirit that's been put in that man to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the sick, you name it.
Right.
There is an authority that has been taken from the church. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like we almost got the liberal left running the church.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy.
So many churches today are out there worried about hurting people's feelings. But the problem is, you know what? The Word of God says that He came to divide. He came
exactly
to cause division among people. Jesus Christ himself came to cause division. And so what if you're going to hurt somebody's feelings as long as the truth is out there? You know, I get so sick of hearing all these people saying, oh, you know, just love. Everything is just amazing. You can do whatever you want and just not have to worry about any consequences. Just come and just enjoy being around people of like mind. You know, great, don't get me wrong, it's great to be like mind around like-minded people, but to tell you the truth, there is a really thin line that is stuck between like-minded and the truth.
Exactly. What he was talking about dividing and bring division, Jesus split time into. We are in anno dominia. It means we are under his dominion. We've taken his dominion out of our church. I mean, we've taken his place. Pastors aren't preaching with authority. Pastors are worried more about whose feelings are going to hurt.
Yeah, the Word of God is being watered down.
The Word of God is meant to hurt your feelings. If you're hurt, getting your feelings hurt in church, guess what? You're the pastor's doing a good job. This is not. Well, you're hurting me. This is hurtful to me. This is hurtful to me. What? Hurtful that we don't want you to go to hell? I mean, seriously.
The word of God is a two-edged sword. And two-edged swords, they mean business. Back in the times where they were using that type of weaponry, two-edged sword, that means they destroy you from top to bottom, left to right. Two-edged sword. That's what the word of God is. And the word of God is truth. And so much of the truth out there has been just watered down. And it's time for believers, for people who are true followers of Christ, true followers of the word, to stand up and retake the dominion, retake the land that God has put out there for us.
Amen. I mean, exactly. This here is from 1968. This was from Vietnam War era. A lot of people don't know when he was talking about two-edged swords. A lot of people don't know this is a foxhole digger. If people that don't understand what this is, people don't know. This is a foxhole digger. This is what they dug to keep themselves safe in the ground. Not only was this a foxhole digger, this was used as a weapon of war. The men and women in uniform, the men that went into uniform, were trained to use these as weapons. A lot of people don't know that. This is an actual weapon, a weapon of mass destruction, by all means, because look what it can do to you.
Right.
This is the word of God. The word of God's supposed to split away the enemy. We're supposed to kill them off, not befriend them. I mean, seriously, churches, I mean, it's almost like they wanted to befriend the devil so he don't attack our lives. What a joke! He's laughing at us.
Right.
I mean, it's a crock.
And when we do that and we give him that power because we don't want to hurt people's feelings, when we give the enemy that power, then we are giving up everything that Christ put in us.
I mean,
everything that God built in our spirits.
The abortion issue. Abortion issue in our country. Any pastor who is ordained a minister of the Word of the Living God has no business sticking up for abortion. Mm-hmm. The Lord rebuke you. I speak you out of ministry. I speak you step down. You are disqualified. How dare you say it's okay for a woman to murder her innocent baby?
Right.
And these pastors are saying, "Well, we just gotta have love." Grow a set of balls, will you? I mean, seriously. I mean, that's what the problem is. Pastors don't know how to be men. Instead, they're walking around dressed like women from The View.
Right.
I mean, they're dressed like women from The View, and you can't tell. At the time, you can't even tell which one is a he or she on the pulpit.
Now, are we saying that people who are out there living in sin continually, are we to not love them? Are we not to, encourage them in the right path? No. We are meant to love, but sometimes love comes tough. Tough love. And sometimes that means we say, hey, we call out that sin, and we say that is a sin and a lie from the enemy. A lie from the devil telling you that it's okay to do that. A lie from the devil saying that, you know, It's all right to kill a baby. It's okay to go and be with someone of your same gender.
Right.
You know? And that's not okay.
No.
It's not okay. The Word of God speaks that it is an abomination. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't love them. Because, I mean, we are to love people to Christ. But sometimes that love, like I said, needs to be tough love. And tough love means speaking the truth, but speaking the truth in love and not hate.
Right. I mean, it's gotten to the point now. I mean, it's so out of hand. I mean, we've got pastors that their wives are starting to dress like men and call them their husbands. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously. A pastor had to step down, wound up saying he had to step down because his husband was pregnant. I mean, seriously.
Right. Exactly. It's here's the thing. Love is a pure and amazing gift that God created. And honestly, the rainbow is a promise from God. That's what it truly means. And here's what happens. When it comes to the enemy, Satan, loves to turn and pervert what God has created for pure and amazing. And that's what homosexuality is. That's what transgenderism is. That's what, you know, the rainbow. It's all turned for perversion. It's perverted by the enemy. But what that rainbow actually means is a promise to God not to destroy our world by flood. The promise that he's going to keep a covenant with his people. And love is meant to be between man and woman, as the Word of God has put it out. That's why he created Adam and Eve. And that is the foundation that love is based off of. None of that perverted stuff.
I mean, we've gotten into a place where you don't even know who's saved and who's born again.
Right.
I mean, you got congregation members more saved than the pastors. You got pastors out there thinking it's okay to smoke weed. You know that all that smoking weed stuff and all that trying to legalize marijuana is? Mm-hmm. Is it's desensitized and dumbed down the United States citizens.
Right.
It's the liberal left. They bring globalism in there. That's why they want to bring it across the Mexican border. They want to bring this stuff across the Mexican border because they want to take and dumb down our people and bring people in that's carrying these drugs and selling it out because they're making bank up in Washington, D.C. Don't think that the Obamas and the Clintons and all them and the Bushes and all said say no to drugs. Don't think that they're not drug addicts themselves. They're big-time drug pushers. They're all drug pushers. The Vietnam War was all about protecting the opioids.
And now we have an opioid crisis.
Now we have an opioid crisis in America. Mm. I mean, that CBD oil, that's 85% opioids.
That's being sold. CBD oil, CBD items are being sold in family video store.
It's harmless. And they said, oh, it's just an herb. It's from an herb. It's not an herb.
It's cannabis. And cannabis is weed. And weed is not good. It's not good for people.
It's even proven that the weed is actually causes cancer quicker than cigarettes. Quicker than cigarettes. And these people are thinking, oh, let's puff one up. Right. I mean, you're being deceived. You're being had. You're being taken. The devil's playing you for a fool. Right. I mean, we've got to get into our senses.
I call out the revivalists. I call out the evangelists. I call out the people who are true believers in Christ. And I ask you, I beg you, I plead you, take your stand. Stand your ground. Do not let anything shake what you know to be true. Do not compromise. Do not just give in because it's the easy way out. You know what? It wasn't an easy way out for Christ when he died on that cross for our sins.
Exactly.
You know, don't take the easy way out. Don't water stuff down. You know, don't get me wrong. I know we don't want to alienate lost people. We don't. But there is a balance between talking to them and alienating them. Loving them to Christ and loving them with the right information. And without actually... I don't know. There's a balance, and if you're truly geared into the Word of God, and you're truly geared into the Holy Spirit, and you're truly tuned into what the Spirit of God is speaking to you, you can hear what He wants you to say to those people who are lost.
Exactly. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, the thing is we've got into this nation is what our nation has come to. It's come to where it's trying to take the voice away from the church. Mm-hmm. We've got senators in office and congressmen in office right now up in Washington, D.C. who want to take away our ability to preach what we want to preach.
Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, how much of a spectacle it was when President Trump said he wanted to bring the Bible back into schools for people to learn from it. Oh, look at all the people who lashed out at him. Hello, you talk about the Koran, you talk about, any other faith and religion that's out there. What is so wrong with speaking about the Word of God and the Christian faith? I mean, you can't just silence one group and allow the other groups, especially groups who have proven time and time again that they are out to go against us and our way of life.
Right. I mean, exactly. I mean, we've taken the back seat, and we need to be taking the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. We've taken such a passive approach to things to where we're just saying, oh, we don't want to offend. You know, and you get people, these like this nut job Rick Warren, that gets out and says, oh, we're all of the same God. Islam and Christianity serve the same God. We serve the same God. No.
Rick Warren said that? I had no idea. He said that.
Wow. He couldn't preach. He preached the whole thing on it. They call it Chrislam. I mean, what is this? There's only one Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One, the Son of Man should not, the entire Quran is nothing but a big lie anyway. Mm-hmm. It's perverted and distorted anyway. It's the Satanist Bible, basically. Mm-hmm. It's a political system. Basically, Islam is just a political system masked up as a religion.
Right.
It's nothing but the Roman Empire repackaged, same as the Philistines and all the other.
Right, and we have people who say that our nation was not a Christian nation, that we were not founded on Christian values. Our very Constitution was founded on Christian values. Our very laws were founded on Christian values. You know, we are a Christian nation, whether you want to say we are or not. Maybe right now it doesn't look like we are, but truly our nation was built with a Christ foundation, and it's time that we regain that foothold.
Exactly. I mean, we've got to gain our foothold. We've got to take out all the crap in the church. For one, you want to open your Bibles with me to the book of Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I don't know if you want to read it.
I can if you like. You said Second Chronicles chapter 7,
verse 14.
Let me look. Let's see what I can find.
I mean, this is not, I mean, in order for revival to happen, the church needs to get saved.
Yeah.
There's churches that are not saved. Pastors aren't saved.
I got to change my translation so I can find that.
Just because you I mean, like say somebody who's been an alcoholic, all of a sudden their father's a pastor and he passes away and hands the church on, it don't make that pastor saved.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Salvation is not inherited. It is inherited through the blood, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Right.
But it's not inherited from your father. Your father cannot get you saved.
Right.
Your grandmother can't get you saved. It's only by you getting on your knees.
Right. And giving your heart to Christ.
And go ahead and
get it. What was that again? Verse or chapter what?
Chapter 7, verse 14.
7:14. All right. I love this verse. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Come on, people.
It's time the church takes dominion over that which was sacked, which was bought for us on Calvary. It's a slap in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got ministers out there that won't do their job.
And let me explain. I want to share the definition of dominion. We have two definitions here for dominion. Sovereignty or control. Man's attempt to establish dominion over nature. However, we do have dominion according to the Word of God. The territory of a sovereign or government. God is our sovereign. And the government is on His shoulders. You know? So, when we say dominion, it's regaining what Christ gave us and what the enemy is taking away.
Exactly.
That's what we're looking at. That's
exactly
what we need to do.
The enemy's taking, let me tell you something. You out there that's out there addicted to drugs, the enemy's taking a lot away from you. The enemy's taking stuff away from you. It's you don't think, you think you're living a good, living high on the hog, living the high life. Those of you out there in the midst of homosexuality, you got to understand something. I'm going to say this to anybody that's living without Christ right now. you're treading on dangerous water, man. There's a dangerous outcome that's going to happen. You're going to reap a hard sacrifice. We don't want you to go to hell. Hell was not made for you. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. And to get back at Jesus for being thrown out of heaven, he goes and deceives you. He tricks you into doing something. Like I tell Corey, let's go out and let's go for a drive. Me and brother Corey go get in the car and go for a drive. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go pull up to this liquor store. Want a soda? Mm-hmm. Next thing I do is I go in and I rob that liquor store. By me being with him, I suckered him into it. He's guilt by association, and he gets the blame, and I run off scot-free. Cops catch him. They don't catch me. I jump or do something. I commit suicide. He's left to sit in jail and pay the penalty.
Gee, thanks, John. But no, I get it. You're right. I get it.
That's what he's doing to you. Yeah. It's not. This is a wake-up call. This is a wake-up call to the church. The church needs to get its act together. Pastors mm-hmm. need to quit doing their own thing. They need to quit being a bunch of selfish jackasses and start thinking about the people instead of their own recognition. They're to humble themselves, seek their face, and pray, and turn from their wicked ways. That means playing favorites. That means allowing these social cliques to go on in your church. If I was a pastor and I seen social cliques going on, I'd kick them, every last one of them, out of the church. Take it somewhere else. Go to a bar and play that crap. Don't play in my Father's house. Right. This is my Father's kingdom, not yours. Right. This is not your kingdom. Believers need to get through their head. This is not your kingdom. I mean, there's believers out there that think because they're friends with certain pastors, that they're friends with this pastor and that pastor, and so that makes them favorable, they get special privileges, that they get all this amenities, and that they get to have all this entitlement. You're dead wrong. It's not. You're building your kingdom instead of his, mm-hmm. and you belong right out that back door. If you don't like what's being said, use the exit signs well lit. That house of God is not for your benefit. You're no different than the money changers, in the temple. Mm-hmm.
Don't get me started on those preachers who manipulate the Word of God. You use the Word of God to manipulate certain things that we know are not godly.
Exactly. You
know, they will use the Word of God to justify things that we know in our heart are not true and not right. So I beg you all out there who are true believers and truly in tune with the Holy Spirit, watch for that. Discern for that. If you see a pastor out there that's just twisting the Word of God to meet their own agenda, that's exactly what the enemy does.
Exactly. He uses pastors. He's going to use pastors more than anything now in these last days. Because right now we're at the stroke of midnight. We are literally right there. You know that if Donald Trump wouldn't have gotten elected president, Hillary Clinton was the last missing piece to establishing a new world order in this country. We would have lost our rights. We'd have been under socialism. We'd have been watched out by Big Brother. People are all people. These Christians are all these. I mean, what drives me crazy with all this end time preaching? On the flip side of this, you get all these people that just want to get up and do the job. Want to get up and leave. Let's just jump on that good old gospel ship and then go on our way. Let's just go away. Let's go up. Let's up and leave while we got people down here dying in their sins.
Right. A good leader goes out into the trenches. They go out onto the battlefield. They go out and they fight and they protect the people that God has put them over.
It's time to dig some trenches. It's time to get off and prepare for battle. Don't stop wanting to take off and leave. And all these preachers that are out there preaching this crap, this is going to happen, and they're predicting all this stuff, like that solar eclipse. Remember that solar eclipse where we had the full eclipse where the sun was just black? Mm-hmm. They took that Acts chapter 2 so out of hand. Okay. Oh, it's going to cause a major earthquake, and in this major earthquake, it's going to go split the United States wide open, and all this water is going to be filling the state of Missouri, and the ocean's going to be in Chicago and this and that and here, and then they kick over the commercial to bilk people, and the same breath they're selling this product that nobody in their right even their lifetime is going to use any of, maybe a tenth of it, selling buckets of pancake batter, 50 buckets of pancake batter, so you can have food for preparation. What are we going to need 50 buckets of pancake, 5-gallon buckets of pancake batter? It's time we stop clowning around and let's get serious with the gospel.
And let's get out there into the trenches. Let's get out there into the battlefield. Let's get out there and let's fight the enemy where he stands. Let's fight the enemy where he stands, because he has no problem fighting us where we stand.
Exactly. Christianity is not a comfort zone. Going to church is not a comfort zone. I don't know whoever taught this, that it's on some comfort zone. Or wherever it came into the church. I mean, how smoked up on grass are they? Right. I mean, are they doing some serious meth or? I mean, seriously, it's a battle zone.
Right.
We are called to battle.
Mm-hmm.
We are called to battle against the forces of evil.
Right.
This is a battle. This is to rescue people who are trapped by the enemy held territory.
Right, and we're not talking physical battle for those other going to try to censor us. We're talking about spiritual battle. And how do we fight spiritually? We fight on our knees in prayer. We fight by going out there and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with people and letting them know that God loves them where they're at. But he loves them so much where they're at that he wants to take them out of where they're at and bring them to a higher level with him. We're not talking about taking guns and going out and shooting every person that we don't that we don't agree with.
You're not creating a massacre here.
Yeah,
we're here to plunder the kingdom of darkness.
Right. For those of you who are going to call this hate speech, it's not hate speech. It's just truth. The truth of the fact is the enemy has had too much dominion in our country, in our world, for too many years. And it's time that we kick him out and send him back to hell where he belongs.
Exactly. And by doing that, I'm going to put up a link to this. This is a soul-winning script. If you want to join in on the fight with us, get this soul-winning script. It's through Revival Ministries International, through Pastor Rodney. Dr. Rodney has got these on his website. You can actually download these and actually print these up for yourselves at home. And go out and you can go out and win. Take this one script with you. And repeat this thing. You just go over this whole script and read this whole script to somebody. If you don't know how to share with the gospel with somebody, you're too scared. This will help you. This is a script to help you win them over. And then you pray with them. You lead them on to receive Christ. And then you invite them to church. Wherever you may go to church. You could maybe go to Life Church. You may be going to Faith Church. You may be going to Twin Rivers. Or going to the Assemblies of God out there and down here in High Ridge. I mean, you just take them to church anywhere. Lead them to the Lord and then take them to church and then make sure they stay in church.
Right.
And follow up with them.
And we're not here to push or sell any church. We are here to ask you to make sure you go to just a Bible-believing church. A church that does not water down the gospel. A church that has no problem talking and speaking the truth and speaking it in love, even if it ruffles a few feathers. Even if it hurts some feelings. Because sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to get them. And we need to hurt their feelings. They need to understand that this life that they're living, the life that they have created, this little bubble.
Right.
This little bubble. They need to break free. And because there's so much life that's left out there for them when they free from that bubble. And they dive in deep in, head in first, to the Word of God and to His presence.
And make sure it's a Holy Spirit-filled church.
Yes, Holy Spirit-filled.
We've got a generation that is craving the demonstration, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. They're wanting something real. Right. People are tired of being fed something garbage.
Right.
They're tired of being fed garbage by churches.
That's why church attendance throughout the United States is low. It's getting lower and lower.
Because they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to do the free will. The pastors are afraid to lead, to let him, to let the Holy Spirit lead it. Because they're too afraid that the brother Big Billy Big Bucks and his big buckets of cash are going to take the big buckets of cash and jump and get up and leave. I'm going to tell you something. If you allow the Holy Spirit to run your church, I'm going to tell you something right now. You won't have to worry about anything financial. The Holy Spirit will take care of it supernaturally. Mm-hmm. It'll happen. God will make it happen.
Right.
You don't have to worry about somebody bribing you into preaching what they want.
I'll tell you what churches...
This is not a restaurant.
Right. I'll tell you what churches aren't dropping in attendance. It's those churches in other countries where the Word of God is so rare, but people are so hungry. And churches are being filled with people because they hunger so much for the Word of God. What happened to our nation is we lost our hunger. And all we're doing, we became full, and all we're doing is living off our fat. That's all. You know, people can survive weeks without food because they'll feed off their fat. You know, but without water, living water, they'll die within 2 days.
Exactly.
The living water of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. That's how we will live for eternity, and that's how attendance will grow. That's how people will come in, and because they'll hunger for such a move of God and a just demonstration of His power. We all hunger for that. I hunger for that so much.
People want a fresh touch from heaven.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, him and I we ventured off without our wives. That's kind of dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Very dangerous.
On its best day. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been known for our adventures, but anyway, we went over to visit with Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. We both got touched from heaven. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like a fresh revelation. This is what we need to be doing. Mm-hmm. This preaching revival to the nations.
Preaching revival and moves of the Holy Spirit, because in so many churches I've seen where the Spirit of God is so evident, and the Spirit of God wants to do so much, but time constraints cuts it off. And they're ready to move on to the next thing. Let the pastor get their message out. But sometimes, people, you need to rest in that presence. You need to rest in that Spirit that God has just poured out. And you would be amazed at the power and the glory that will be revealed when we finally let the Holy Spirit control us and control our services instead of time constraints and people and getting people to lunch on time.
Exactly. They're worried about going to a football game. Of course, in my case, I left church early one day because I didn't want to miss the first part of WrestleMania.
Oh, of course. Don't get him started on WrestleMania. I'm telling you.
What you mean, Mean Gene? Let me tell you something, Mean Gene.
Oh, my.
Anyway, I mean, we've got by taking dominion, we've got to take that which is biblically ours.
Yeah.
Through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, people act like that. I mean, it makes it sound like that Jesus died for only a little bit of, just to do a little bit in our lives. That's mm-hmm. not what he did. He died so he can complete our lives. Mm-hmm. So we can live in dominion with him and be in the cool of day and live in fellowship with him constantly. I've never seen somebody in fellowship. There's four men of God I could think of right now. One of them's already been home, done home to be with the Lord. Dr. Will Roberts, mm-hmm. Bishop Boyadepo, Rodney Howard Brown, and Reinhard Bonnke. They live in the presence of God. They strive to live in the presence of God, Almighty God. Mm-hmm. I went down to Tulsa one time to the go deliver some paperwork from the I was working at Oral Roberts University at the time when I was down there. They was doing some work for him, and they said, "Here, go take these to Dr. Roberts." I knocked on the door, and they said, "Please don't knock on his door. He's in his time with the Lord." I said, "How much time does he spend with the Lord? You know how much time he spends with the Lord? He used to spend with the Lord 20 hours a day. He shut himself in that office." He would shut. Even there was time he would. He wouldn't even go home. He would shut himself in that office and fast and pray, believing for miracles for his crusades.
Right.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you something. That when you, if you want miracles to happen in your life, mm-hmm. stay in the presence of God.
Right.
I mean, I don't get these carnal-minded Christians that they think that what makes them saved
right.
is if they hang around the pastors at the church.
Right.
We're friends with the pastors. We're going to do this with the pastors. Oh, we're doing this over here with the pastors.
Right.
What are you doing? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Well, nothing. Well, we're over here with the pastors, though. We're partying with, or at their house. We're swimming in their pool, and we're gonna go over to Dave and Buster's, and we're gonna do this and that. And it's like, what are you doing for the kingdom of God? What? How does this benefit the kingdom of God? Well, I'm getting to hang out with the pastors. Hanging out with the pastors does not accomplish a dang thing. Somebody asked me one time, what it was, I said, you ever, he had dinner or lunch with Pastor Rick Shelton? I said, yeah, one time. Mm-hmm. No, it was actually two times, because it was once it was a wedding, and the other one was Jack Harris's birthday party.
Right.
They said, well, what was it like? I said, well, if you want me to be honest with you.
He's a man.
Well, he stuck his fork in his food, and he placed his knife over his food and started to cut into the food. He put the fork full of food in his mouth and began to chew it. For after several seconds of doing that measure, he placed his fork back in his food and proceeded to, again, cut its food with a knife. And after he cut his food with a knife, he stuck food and he repeated the same action for the next 20, 35 minutes until he was done with his meal. Then he took a drink of his beverage. Mm-hmm.
He laughed a little bit. Because I'm sure there's lots of laughing at Pastor Jack's, you know.
And they're like, well, did you get anything? Did you get any revelations out of it? I said, yeah, I got a good revelation out of it. Yeah. He eats his food just exactly the same way I do.
Right. Don't get me wrong. I love my pastors, and I would love to hang out with my pastors. And I actually hung out with my pastor once before. But does that make me any better than what I am? I mean,
no.
I mean, our pastors are amazing. They're great people. I love them with all my heart, and there's such a call of God on them, you know. And I'm ready for them to just let loose, you know.
Amen.
And just you know, do what God has put on them, and they have been, and they've done such a great job.
And then we'll talk about the subject of revival. Revival also comes in waves, too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
There's pastors who are so impatient, they'll try to force something to be revival, mm-hmm. and it's not. That's not taking dominion. Right. When you're forcing something that's not taking dominion, you're getting into the flesh.
Right.
You're stepping out of bounds.
Right.
That all comes by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It's not by power, but my spirit, says God. It's when He's ready.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, we've covered many areas. I mean, we've got to understand that all these areas. I mean, this is not, this whole broadcast is not to bash people.
Mm-mm, not at all.
It's not the slam people. We want to see you set free. We want to say, we want to see you well. We want to see you win. We want to see you built up in your most holy faith. Mm-hmm. We want to see you become everything has been has for you. And be a living testimony.
Right.
There was a gal a couple weeks ago that I don't know what happened. Her Twitter must have got deleted. She must have deleted her Twitter. But she tweeted me saying she got a hold of my podcast. And she was battling years of being a lesbian. She heard me give the call of salvation, and she knew that God had set her free from it.
Wow.
I guess she deleted her social medias because of all the negative attention she was getting from living in that lifestyle. I guess she just wanted to. But it's just all it takes.
That's another thing. Christians, believers, some of y'all can be evil.
Exactly.
You need to stop. You need to love these people. No matter whether or not you believe and agree with the life that they're living, they need love just like you do. So you need to stop. You need to stop being angry. You need to stop spitting out nothing but hateful words, either through social media, or you just need to stop.
Cracking jokes, making gay jokes, and you're not going to win them over.
You need to just share love. Share the love of Jesus Christ.
Come on. I'm telling you. Christians are some of the most ignorant people I've ever met.
Exactly.
Some of the most ridiculous and just absolutely rude and just, you know, it's wrong. God didn't call us to be hateful. God called us to love. The only thing we're going to hate is the fact that the enemy has dominion over these people's lives.
Exactly. We've got, what would we hate is if we were holding signs up saying, die gays, all gays must die, we hate gays.
Or you're all going to hell.
You belong in hell. You don't belong in hell.
You don't belong in hell.
And you weren't made for hell.
Living in sin, that's a one-way ticket to hell.
I'll
tell you that. But that's why there's grace. That's why there's mercy. That's why there's forgiveness. That's why there is deliverance.
Exactly.
By the Holy Spirit. We know a pastor friend of ours is a great man of God, and he came out of that lifestyle. And the fact that he can come out of that lifestyle and share the love of Jesus Christ and help other people come out of that lifestyle, come on, kudos.
And it don't happen either by all these stupid ministries that they raise up. We got to do all the books, you got to do all the tapes, and I'll do all the classes for the next 18 to 24 months. And they send you these bogus retreats that they think it's going to set you free. Mm-hmm. And then the person's, all they learned was a bunch of book knowledge. They didn't get no fresh impartation.
Right.
They didn't get the fresh touch from heaven. The Bible says just one touch of his, one glimpse of his glory, just one touch of his hand, just like the song goes, I will never be the same because God's Spirit is flowing through my veins. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. I mean, you don't tell the person, you're not going to win the person over. For one thing, when I'm talking about with those type of classes, having dominion, you don't take dominion over somebody, over somebody, because that's not for you to have dominion over anybody. One. Two, to have the dominion of Christ in you is not sit there and make them under your authority. You're not their authority. You're not their leader. You don't lord over them. You don't go teaching them. Just say Corey gets saved. Mm-hmm. I went him over to the Lord, and he gets salvation, and he's got the victory. Mm-hmm. 2 seconds later, you know, I see you got a generational curse on you. You got devils of this. You got a demon of that. You got a demon of this and that. And after me telling him that, a new believer who's very highly vulnerable, what do you think it's going to happen with his self-esteem? Mm-hmm. They're doing it to break. You do it to break their esteem down. They do it to break their confidence down, to take out their self-worth, so they could be underneath their thumb. That's not it. That's how cults are formed. That's an occult mindset, and you need to repent. You need to get right with Jesus.
Generational curses, I believe, are not a thing. I mean, so many believers and Christians out there, they preach that generational curses are out there.
That a believer can have a generational curse. We are broken from the curse.
We are under the blood. And the fact of the matter, if we believe that we're still under that curse, then Christ died in vain. That's exactly what the Word of God says. The Word of God speaks against. It says that we are no longer cursed by our sin. We're no longer under those. We're no longer under that. Once we become true believers and true followers and give our hearts to Christ, then it is all broken off of us. Don't get me wrong. Do I believe that we have some bad habits in our lives that we keep bringing up in our lives? But that's where God comes in, and he reveals to us, as long as we're truly in tune with the Holy Spirit, what needs to change and how to change it.
Exactly.
Without destroying your self-esteem.
And one of the things when you were talking about that, by washing it away by the blood, we're not under the atonement like these cleansing, scrub-a-dub-dub, three holy men in a tub ministries are all about. And we're under the remission of sin. Means the debt is canceled. Mm-hmm. The debt and the warrant, the arrest warrant, there was the bounty that was on us sins, it's no longer valid. It's canceled. It's deleted.
Right.
It's like if I go out and break the law, I called, and I get out on bail, and I jump bail, and I get to go back in jail, and I go pet dog the bounty hunter bail me out. Mm-hmm. That's the atonement. Mm-hmm. It's covering it. Just covering it. Just keep covering it.
Right.
But the for the judge to say, don't worry.
Right.
It's over. Go on. Don't do anything else anymore.
Yeah.
That's Jesus. Jesus is that judge. Mm-hmm. The remission of sin is this. This is the atonement. The atonement is just covering it. These religious idiots that are out there teaching that we're under some atonement, that, oh, get it underneath the blood. You got to get it underneath the blood. Mm-hmm. You know, you that little thing you're dealing with, Brother Corey? Mm-hmm. You need to get it underneath the blood. You need to get it underneath the blood, praise Jesus.
Right.
We're not it's not underneath the blood. It's the remission of sin.
Right.
It's like this. That simple. That simple. It's gone. As far as the east is from the west, it's taken away. It's gone. You no longer, that's no longer yours. It's in the hand of Christ.
Right.
It's in his blood. It's his blood washed it clean.
Right. Absolutely.
And I want to give that that invitation to you right now. You're out there and you're in sin. You're battling with either drug addiction, homosexuality. You're battling with any type of immoral sin. There's a woman out there. You may not be listening to this broadcast, but I'm telling you, there by the Spirit, there's somebody that's been struggling with this. And I'm going to say right now, God has got your answer is today. It's by accepting this the blood sacrifice that was done on Calvary. There's a couple others. I'm not going to call nobody out. That's not who I am. That's between you and God. Mm-hmm. You've been struggling to get set free, but you don't want to tell your other partner that it's over. Okay. It's time to come across that line.
Time to let him go.
Time to burn the Heartbreak Hotel down. Mm-hmm. And allow Jesus to be your lover.
That's a bridge that needs to be burned. Absolutely.
It's time to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I want you, everybody, to say this prayer with me. Dear Father God.
Dear Father God.
I come to you.
I come to you.
In the name of your Son, Jesus.
In the name of your Son, Jesus.
To be forgiven of my sins.
To be forgiven of my sins.
And washed in your blood.
And washed in your blood.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I'm sorry for what I've done.
I'm sorry for what I've done.
I repent.
I repent.
And I turn my back on the world.
And I turn my back on the world.
And the things thereof.
And the things thereof.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Let your Holy Spirit reign in me.
Let your Holy Spirit reign in me.
Let him baptize me.
Let him baptize me.
Use me.
Use me.
Transform my life.
Transform my life.
And let me never be the same.
Let me never be the same.
I thank you, Father God.
I thank you, Father God.
That it says in your word.
It says in your word.
That if I confess with my mouth.
If I confess with my mouth
and believe in my heart,
and believe in my heart
that you rose Jesus Christ from the grave,
that you rose Jesus Christ from the grave,
that I shall be saved,
that I shall be saved,
and to this day forward,
and to this day forward,
I accept the work of the cross,
the work of the cross,
in Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name.
Congratulations, you're now born again to the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's awesome.
Well, we've gone as long as we can go. I'm burning up. I don't know about you.
Me too.
We've been lighting it on fire. Mm-hmm. Just want to say thank you for joining us today. He's going to be a new fixture on the program. He's going to be here permanently, permanent fixture on our broadcast.
Well, at least Saturdays and Sundays.
At least Saturdays and Sundays. Yeah. And during the week, you'll have me. You'll have to put up with me nagging at you. Anyway, I love you. Jesus loves you. This is a production of Revival Now International Media Ministries. For more information on our ministry, go email me at revivalistjfs3@gmail.com or call the text at 636-368-6490. God bless you and have a great week.